So we were talking about something last week. Maybe it was Prince Fielder's birthday. Blake, I don't know if you recall. But we played the audio of Prince Fielder retiring.
What?
He had to retire. Actually, today's his birthday. Interesting. Oh,
how about that? Lou Gehrig's death day or birthday?
It might have been. It might have been because Lou Gehrig obviously featured in this audio. And Prince Fielder, after signing the massive, massive deal with the Rangers, had health problems, neck problems, and it rendered him unable to play ever again.
Did he sign that with the Rangers, or did the Tigers sign him to that and then they traded Kinsler for him already on it?
It was, yeah, it was, they traded his contract.
Okay.
And I want to say ate some of it.
That sounds right, yeah.
I think they got back Kinsler and sent away, they got back Kinsler and paid $30 million, I believe. But he only played a few seasons here in Texas because, you know, of injury concerns. I mean, it was 42 the first year, the second year played 158, and then just 89 games, and he was gone. It was a moment, it was a fun moment, but it was very fleeting. And in his final press conference, it kind of got derailed, and when we were talking about this last week, I said, this is my favorite press conference moment of all time. And you texted me and said, no, it has nothing on Rondo's introductory Mavs press conference. So we're going to play both of those here, along with a couple of others. This is one that doesn't get a ton of play. We play it a lot during March Madness, which it turns out is just 1 month out of the year.
Huh.
So it doesn't get a ton of run. But this is when Yale beat Baylor
in
2016. And Torian Prince had one of the better press conference answers of all time to a question that really deserved this kind of answer. How does Baylor get up? All right.
Oh, no. We heard the blown out computer speakers.
That shouldn't have been happening.
We have underwater Jake laptop.
We switched our cords back here. Let's see this.
How does Baylor get out rebounded by Yale? Hmm. How's that happen?
Are you directing that towards anyone?
Gentleman who just talked about getting out rebounded. He had the stat sheet.
Tori?
You said how do they have more rebounds?
You said he got out rebounded. I was surprised. You did. 36-32. Mm-hmm. How does Yale out rebound Baylor?
You go up and grab the ball off the rim when it comes off, and then you grab it with two hands, and you come down with it, and that's considered a rebound. So they got more of those than we did.
Perfect. Because that's such a smarmy D question.
It really is.
To a college kid.
Yeah. And also, he's up there. Prince is up there with probably two other guys in his coach. Maybe one other guy in his coach.
Yeah.
And this guy wants to get to the bottom of it. How does Yale out-rebound Baylor?
Riddle me this, Torian.
It's very riddle me this.
Yale.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got the stat sheet.
Yeah, and he's slapping got the stat it as he's sheet. Asking.
Yeah.
How does Baylor get out-rebounded by Yale?
Yeah.
How's that happen?
Are you directing that towards anyone?
Gentleman who just talked about getting out rebounded. He had the stat sheet.
Tori?
You said how do they have more rebounds?
You said he got out rebounded. I was surprised. You did. 36-32. Mm-hmm. How does Yale out rebound Baylor?
I'll ask again.
You go up and grab the ball off the rim when it comes off, and then you grab it with two hands, and you come down with it, and that's considered a rebound. So they got more of those than we did.
It's also important to note, if you ever see this video, he's miming rebounding.
Like grabbing the ball.
One hand up, he brings it down,
off
and
the
then
10.
You give it two hands. That's considered a rebound.
Boy, I would love to see that reporter's face. You know who that guy is?
I do not.
Is some Waco dude or something?
I do not know. I bet not. He sounded very, he sounded like he was from the Northeast.
That's called a drop third strike.
Like, thank you. Rebound Yale.
Baylor, I'll rebound by Yale. Any press conference segment would be remiss without checking in with the legend Ty, Ray Stone.
When you try for 2-2 points, we would have had to go 2-2 points to make it a two-score game or a one-score game. Percentages are not with you. So I felt we'd have a better chance to take the point, come down, score again. Now we don't have to worry about two-point plays, get an onside kick, or if we had to, take a field goal and kick onside. It gave us a couple of options there. And you know, hindsight, you might say we could have made 2-2-point plays. But I don't feel we're going for the win.
Bad decision, though, Coach. Bad decision.
No, it wasn't a bad decision. Next.
We need more Ray Stones.
Man. A rebuttal. You know, so Campo's giving you all of his logic there and walking you through it. No, bad decision.
No question, really.
That's just letting you know. Bad decision.
I would love to see if anyone has the cojones to do a current day Ray Stone and just openly mock a coach's decision making in front of everybody.
It would be a one and done.
Yeah, it absolutely would be. You know, Daddy got at least 10% of the way there with McCarthy on a question about a commitment to running the football.
I'm trying to remember that one.
And I remember thinking, I don't really even agree with Daddy's points here, but
to have the stones to do it?
Yeah, you know, let's see. I think I have it.
Did he call McCarthy Raina?
All right.
No, Ty.
Leave him alone, dude.
He did not. Let's see how this goes.
Defense was doing a decent job in the red zone, stopping drives between the 20s. Really seemed to be having trouble stopping chunk plays. What do you think was the issue on those parts of the drives for Tim?
I'm not sure what you're asking me.
Tampa Bay was moving the ball very well between the 20s, but then the defense would stand up. Why? What was the issue, do you think, defensively?
Yeah, is that a question, or are you just telling me your opinion? What are you asking me? Between the you're talking about their offensive production between their 20s? Yes. Okay, yeah, they were productive.
I
mean,
I just love his question because it sounds like right after it's one of those ones where he clicks his pen and gets ready to write down whatever McCarthy says. Like, it's so matter of fact.
But that is a common thing you'll hear is that a question or are you giving me your opinion? Go back to Ray Stone.
Seems like you guys really sucked out there.
Yeah.
I won't second guess that. No.
Your chances to win going for 2 points were much, much better.
What's your question?
For the points, for the extra points after the touchdown.
Well, but did you have a question about that?
Yeah, I say that going for the two would have been a better position for the Cowboys to win.
How Looney Tunes is that, too, from Ray? I say your chances would have...
Going for the two would have been a better position for the Cowboys to win.
That's, you know...
It would have left the difference of 8 points. One touch, one score, and 2 points would have tied the game. They give the Cowboys the minimum.
I
think Ray Stone kept just getting louder. He thought that was how it was going to make it more clear.
Makes your point better the more you do that.
Yeah.
Boy, that's great.
Okay.
We also need Trey up there, too, because Trey didn't really throw at anyone.
No.
But just cutting Jerry off in front of his face to just ask how Romo's back is doing.
Tony Romo. It's an all-timer.
You had enough of that question, did you?
All right, so... Here's Monty's fighter, his contender. This is when Rondo, again, was traded to the Mavericks along with Dwight Powell. Not sure if we talk enough about that.
The little throw-in of Dwight Powell?
That the guy who ended up being the longest tenured Maverick for an era and will probably be back on some sort of a minimum deal as a rotation big this summer was just a throw-in there. Now, the Mavericks at the time would tell you we wouldn't have done this deal without Rondo. Or without Powell.
There was one guy at this press conference who knew that because he was waiting for Dwight Powell's insanity.
Okay. We're going to get to that. Let's go back to the Mavericks Rondo press conference from December many years ago.
Good afternoon. Valencia King, KKVI. Rondo, I'll start with you. What was the main reason you decided to come to Dallas? What did it for you?
Well, at least it wasn't my decision.
Let me rephrase that. What are you excited about Dallas for being here? Let me rephrase it like that.
Okay, so
I missed the awkward laugh of Sarah Melton in the background.
That's not any better, by
possibly
the way.
Possibly the worst rephrasing of all time.
Well, at least it wasn't my decision.
Let me rephrase that. What are you excited about Dallas for being here? Let me rephrase it like that.
What are you excited about Dallas for being here?
I love that because I've always said the Mavs will let any Tom, Dick, or Harry that says, I like the Mavs in their locker room or press conference.
Yeah.
And then here this lady wants to know, why did you choose Dallas, Rondo?
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's right. You were traded. What are you excited about Dallas for being here then?
Specifically.
But yeah, there was another reporter there. He was Asian. And I don't recall the Mavericks having an Asian player at this time. You will absolutely now hear questions sometimes on Zoom from European reporters.
Yeah.
And for sure from Spanish reporters, not just for domestic coverage here, Spanish speakers in Texas, but Luka gets questions from Spain.
Are we sure this wasn't the brief time when Yi Jianlin was here? Because I remember when I was doing college radio, when like Dirk and them had too many people, I would go stand next to the China reporters and get Yi Jin Lin audio.
I don't think they're called, quote, the China reporters.
Well, what, that's where they were from, the reporters from China.
No disrespect.
Somehow the Chinese reporters felt even worse, so I backed off, and now you're making me feel worse.
You know China. What? It might. No, I think Yi just was a couple years before Rondo, but didn't miss him by much. But yes, so there's Dwight Powell sitting up here. Like, certainly no one's going to have a question for me unless they have to do one to just kind of make me feel better.
He's just on his phone playing.
And here's this
run.
Guy.
All right, thanks. I have a question for Dwight. Kind of just compared to, like, I know, like, you're just kind of a new guy here. And also, you know, Jeremy Lin is, like, from Harvard. So he is kind of have the Lin sanity. So I kind of feel like, what's your role, like, being Dallas? And what's your, like, position? You think you're going to have, like, a Lin sanity, like, same here for you? I know you're from Stanford. It's pretty
I'm not sure about the Lin sanity comparisons, but... But, I mean, like I said earlier, I'm a young player.
I don't remember seeing video of that press conference. How do you know he was Asian?
Okay, that's offensive. I will ask this, though. Is there a chance that that guy thought Dwight Powell was Chinese? Because otherwise, I just don't... his premise of simply that they both went to very good schools...
Yeah, smart schools.
...doesn't seem strong enough to me to make that jump.
And y'all have had him on. Have you ever asked him about that press conference, Dwight Powell, about the Lin sanity question?
Man, I don't think we have.
No, they asked him about the pressures of growing up with Asian parents.
I don't know what that... Yeah, that was just a really weird moment, you know? And the guy, the way that he got to his question was all over the road. But Dwight Powell handled it like a pro because that's who he is. But in my mind, that has nothing on this.
Let's see your champion.
Because this is Prince Fielder, and again, I don't really know if this is true, but the way that I've fish storied this, he's sitting there wearing a neck brace like he's in the people's court.
Like he's trying to get Judge Judy to rule in his favor.
And you'll hear it here, because this is the very end of the press conference where he is retiring from the game of baseball way earlier than you thought he would. He's crying. His family is there. His entire team is there. Beloved teammate. He is choked up.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice you'll hear at the end of the question, of the clip where the question is being asked, is a cameraman. It's not someone whose voice you'll recognize. It's someone who was out there as a cameraman or a support who decided, now's my time.
I've never heard that in my life.
Yeah.
What does it mean to have your teammates here?
Not that.
It's awesome.
You can hear very emotional.
You know, that's really awesome. You know, it's part of my family. So, you know, it's real cool to have them here. It's, you know, I got 4 at the house and I got 25 here, you know, or 3. So it's just cool. It's really, it means a lot.
A couple more. Anything else? You got to wait for the microphone.
Do you sort of understand what Lou Gehrig was going through in his famous speech?
What?
Next. What else we got? Any other questions? You good? Thank you.
All right.
Okay. What? Hearing that again, there's a couple of things that may vault it up. One,
the guy's referencing the luckiest man on the face of the earth speech at the end of Lou Gehrig's career.
Who, was headed like a year away from suffering a horrible muscle death.
Yes.
But for one, John Blake being in there helped. He kind of adds a little levity to start playing. And then this guy's laughing as he asks the question. Do you feel like Lou Gehrig or something?
Sorry, it's funny looking at a guy losing his entire career in front of me.
What?
Pick a couple more. Anything else? You got to wait for the microphone.
Do you sort of understand what Lou Gehrig was going through in his famous speech?
What?
Next. What else we got? Any other questions? You good? Thank you.
All right.
And that is how his career ended.
Right before that guy asked that question, he lets out a... Like, things are just so tough, man. Tough. I'll talk about it.